This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
To fight for the freedoms of the American people. And every story has a struggle, a sacrifice, and invisible wounds. Warrior Wads programs help veterans recover from PTSD and invisible wounds through exercise, nutrition, and connecting with other veteran leaders. It is estimated that 22 veterans die each day by suicide, and another 30 veterans die each day by substance abuse. These are preventable deaths. Warrior Wad is committed to fighting PTSD through fitness, nutrition, and community. Privilege and opportunity to support our heroes in their time of need. Will you join us and take action?
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Got a question about your VA benefits, healthcare, or eligibility? Go to va.gov. where you can access a new interactive chatbot to ask questions 24/7. One can still browse va.gov for information, but you can now ask specific questions to the chatbot, like what's the PACT Act? How do I apply for disability benefits? What's my claim status? You can access the new feature through va.gov's Contact Us page. Then click on the Start Chat button. The chatbot will continue to improve veterans' access to information about the benefits and services they've earned. This is one way VA is offering seamless and secure access to its online resources.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. Fit Nation. Fit Nation. We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their story to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share some of your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you're a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and share how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you're a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and just share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or are embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you're a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast apps and also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date with our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to our Thursday After Dinner Chat. I know it's still cold here in Tennessee. Our 1 week of coldness is stretched out to almost two now.
So I know people getting their winter hats on. Another storm coming through tonight, but don't worry, next week it'll be 60. So we'll be right back to where we usually are in our bipolar world of Tennessee. Still keeping in our thoughts and prayers the families of the two Navy SEALs who went missing off the coast of Somalia last week, exactly 1 week ago today, do an interdiction mission against an Iranian ship bringing new weapons to the Houthis. So keep those guys and their families in your thoughts and prayers. We know it's getting grim now after a week, but let's keep them in our thoughts and prayers. Tonight's show is brought to you by Inert Mugs. This nice VX guest, H155 round glass. Thank you for supplying us with these. These are awesome. You should get one too. That's Inert Mugs. So tonight we have a guest who has created a new way to demonstrate the principles of the love languages. It's a profound way to learn all five love languages to give them away. By giving them away, your vision will improve to the point that you can see them coming your way and respond appropriately. The system is so easy that even young children can be trained in this love system. Spoiler alert, it's a game where everyone wins. So without further ado, let's welcome Paul Zolman, a Cold War veteran, in the role of language of love linguist. How are you, Paul?
Great, Rich. Thank you. Pleasure to be with you today. Thanks so much.
Great to have you here. I know we were supposed to do this probably November time period, but we had a disconnect via communications. But we're here tonight, and we appreciate you coming back and being able to share your story with us. So, Paul, if you don't mind, I just gave basically a two-sentence thing about what you do, not really a lot about you. So if you'd like to tell us a little more about Paul as a person from as far back as you go to how we got here, that'd be awesome.
Great. Thank you, Rich. Just want to start. I grew up in an angry family, and I didn't realize that it was angry until I got out and saw other things and the way other people operated. In fact, it was probably just 15 years ago that it really was pronounced that my family was angry. I didn't even know that until that time. I was dating someone. I'd been married 23 and a half years, and then I got divorced, had 8 children in that 23 and a half years. And at the end of that, I had five children remaining in the home. I was primary custodian there. And so on the weekends when my ex-wife had the children, I thought I'd have a little midlife crisis, a little midlife fun is what I thought I'd have. And so I decided I was going to do some destination dating. What that to me meant was that I was finding someone that lived in a different city. I lived somewhere else, and we decided on a city to meet in. We'd meet, have a date, and then we'd go back home. Well, I did that for about a year and a half, and then moved to a place where I thought I had a line on someone from that destination dating, thought I wanted to improve that relationship a little bit better. Didn't work out. So 3.5 years after that divorce, my ex-wife now had decided she wanted primary custody of the children back. I only had 3 left in the household at the time, and she was going to move to live with her parents. I thought, you know, this would be perfect. I'm number 10 of 11. I didn't know my grandfather, and I barely knew my grandmothers. One lived 350 miles east, the other one 350 miles west. We really didn't visit them very often as I was growing up. So I thought this would be a perfect opportunity for them to visit, get to know their grandparents. And so I'm all alone. While I'm all alone, my older sister calls me and says, I have a neighbor that I want to introduce to you. Well, my sister lives 7 hours away, Rich. And I thought, you know, I'd done all this destination dating. It felt like I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I didn't want to do that again. I said, no, I don't want to. She's an older sister. And as number 10 of 11, you have to do what your older siblings say. In the day, Rich, I was the human remote control for the TV. I had shorter legs. I could walk up to the TV and turn the knob and turn it to the channel that my older siblings wanted to watch for the day. So you got to listen to what your older siblings say. It's kind of like listening to your commanding officers. You got to do what they say if you want to survive. So I wanted to survive. I said, I don't really want to do this. She says, oh, come on. I said, okay, I'll email this woman that you want to introduce to me. What kind of relationship can you develop with email? I didn't think there'd be much. And so we started emailing, and she was a really good writer. So after four or five interchanges of these emails, I got brave. Rich, I asked her a question. Well, how many times have you been married? And she wrote back and said, counting the five that are buried in the backyard. And I thought, I just started laughing hysterically because now I found someone, Rich, that had a sense of humor. Someone that's got some personality. I said, I think this is something I want to pursue a little bit. So we started getting a little closer, and then I ended up moving up to where my sister was living, and we started getting serious. At that serious moment, then it's time for big brother approval, number 10 of 11. You got to have that as well. So went up to my brother's house, 300 miles north, and first thing that happened when we went in is that my sister-in-law pulls her aside and says, the only emotion that the Zolman family learned growing up was anger. At first, I denied it. I said, uh-uh. Then it made me mad. I thought, you know, I just verified exactly what she said. And I realized that I had not overcome that. And what an angry household looks like, what it looked like as a child, is that there really no boundaries. There's a lot of talking over one another. And the thought process there was that, well, what I have to say is a whole lot more important than what you're saying. So I'm going to talk over you, and maybe somebody will hear what I'm saying more than they'll hear what you're saying. Really a bad attitude about social graces and that sort of thing. Really all the put downs. If I put you down, then it raises me up. All that attitude was the angry attitude that I grew up with. So I started to realize that I really need to get rid of that type of attitude. It was part of the demise of my first marriage. I'm sure that was part of it. It wasn't the whole thing, but that was part of it. And so I really wanted to improve myself. What the attitude was, Rich, is that I was looking at other people, kind of looking over the fence, what other people were doing, and I'd get annoyed at what they're doing. I said, what's wrong with that person? Why don't they do it right? And they're just trying to get into their space a little bit, trying to give them advice without any permission of giving advice, or just think that I knew more than they knew, and elevating myself and again above them, putting them down, and just looking at their faults, looking at their weaknesses, looking at those type of things. And I realized that that's not a good habit. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I get out of this anger? And I thought, you know, I've got to read some books about this. Got to have some more education, because that same stacking of annoyance upon annoyance on top of annoyance, till you had that flash of anger, was something that my father passed down. And maybe his father passed it to him. And I think we learn from our parents things that we're going to incorporate into our life. I'm at age 17. I remember making that promise to myself that I'm not going to raise my kids like my parents raised me. I'm going to do it a whole lot better. And every 17 or 18 year old, I think, makes that promise, or they had really good parents and they're going to make the promise to do that, what their parents did, and maybe more. So that's where I was. I started reading the color code and then the five love languages. And I really liked the principle of the five love languages, but from where I came from, Rich, I didn't get it. You mean, Dr. Chapman, that if I guess what Rich's love language is and cater to that, you're calling that love? It does sound like love, and I don't, who am I to say what love was at that point in time from where I came from? But it didn't sound like love, and I'm a bad guesser. It wasn't happening for me, wasn't working. So the second thing that Dr. Chapman has, Rich, is that if you take this survey, you can find out what your love language is. Well, what the heck you do with that, Rich? Advertise? Hello, Rich. I'm gifts. What do you have for me today? You might as well just wear a badge that says, here's my Venmo QR code. Send me a gift. I'm gifts. That's my love language. That was awkward, and it wasn't working for me either. So I had an idea that even as dysfunctional as our family was growing up, we still got together and played games. When we played games, I felt a different connection with the family members. Yeah, there were still all the put downs. There were still all the aggressive competitions going on. But playing that game, playing games just felt really good about that. So I thought, I wonder if I could make this a game, because whatever Dr. Chapman was putting out there wasn't working for me. So I contacted Dr. Chapman, asked him if he was licensing those little pictures or the icons that he had for each one of the love languages. And after a couple of weeks, his attorney wrote back, said, no, we're not doing that at this time. So I had an attorney copyright or a intellectual property attorney in my neighborhood that was a friend. And I took the idea over to him and said, what about this? He said this. He said, theory, like the love language theory, is not copyrightable. Application is. So I thought, well, I'll make my own icons and I'll make it into a game. So that's what I did. And this is what I have. It's a little cube, a little dice that is about 1 inch by 1 inch. And it's this has representations of each one of the love languages. The first one I'm holding up for your listeners is that hand that is holding an hourglass that represents spending time. That's one of the love languages, spending time with someone, quality time, that would just help them feel like they feel loved. One of the things my wife loves is to watch Korean dramas. We can't talk during that because we're busy reading the captions because we don't know Korean, but love the Korean dramas. The next one is looks like a waiter holding a platter that would represent a server or service. So that's people that like service, like their car washed. They like the carpet vacuumed. They like the trash taken out. The next one I'm holding is two hands formed together to make a heart. Now this is a little different because they're a little conversation fly out, like in the cartoons, like the heart is talking. Those would be the words, the loving words. I love you. Those would be the compliments that you send out every day. That's what that is all about. Next one is a hand holding a gift. That'd be gifts. And then the last one is two hands touching one another, representing touch. Five love languages, six sides on the cube. The last one is a hand holding a question mark. That one surprised me. Rich, there's just two instructions. You roll the cube every day, whatever it lands on. That's the love language you practice giving away all day that day. Now, in your introduction, you had some soldiers that were doing an about face. This, for me, was an about face emotionally. What I realized is that instead of focusing on what's wrong with that person, which might be 10 or 20% of that person, most people, I believe, are really intrinsically good. So instead of focusing what's wrong with that person, now suddenly I'm looking at what's right with that person. What can I love about that person? It's a 180-degree turn, that about face that we're talking about, that 180-degree turn, and it changed my life. After 30 days of rolling the cube, I learned all five love languages to give it away. And by doing that, it really improved my vision, my peripheral vision. I could see it coming my way. It may not have been my primary love language, but oh, they're loving on me. It's not my primary love language, but I can respond back to that. It closed that communication gap. And that's kind of a long story, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
There's a lot of stuff that you went through to find out who you were and why the way you grew up, to really understand how you grew up. Is the seed from the outside, really, from your brothers and sisters telling you how you actually grew up without the blinders on. And sometimes that's what people need, is to get that little kick in the butt to say, look, this is how you grew up in, or this is what is going on. You may not see it this way, but I'm telling you. And then, like, your reaction was to get angry, and that just brought it all to light for you. You talked about you and your wife watching Korean dramas. My wife and daughter have been watching them since about 2009, 10, when we lived in Korea. And oh, nice. We came home, we had to get Dish TV, so it was only thing that actually carried them where we were. And then we found them in, they actually have them in English, or English with the subtitles as well. So they watch them still to this day. So I was laughing in my head when you were talking about that there. So I go through that here all the time. So when you started the course of this, who was your intended audience when you started this?
My intended audience, Rich, and that's a great question. No one's ever asked that. My intended audience was myself. Okay. I was trying to overcome this problem that I had of the annoyance, stacking these annoyances until I didn't know when that straw would break the camel's back. I had no idea when I'd have that flare up or when I'd have that flash of anger that would go out. It happened in public. It happened in private. It happened in just a lot of awkward circumstances. And I like to describe it, Rich, that you know, I was the guy that had an accident in the swimming pool. Everybody's running away and saying, it wasn't me. And then it's like, I repel people. When you get angry like that, you just repel people. I did not want to do that anymore. And so that's really kind of how it came together. And that's why I wanted to create it for myself. Really, it worked so well for myself. It was almost overnight, Rich, that I started focusing on what's right about people. And the 80 to 90% of the good of people that I was focused on just consumed my time. I didn't have any more time to be annoyed. I could not. It was a replacement behavior, exactly what I needed. I was single at the time when I created it, Rich, and I didn't have a significant other like Dr. Chapman would suggest for loving. Didn't have that person. I said, Dr. Chapman, who in the heck am I supposed to love? And then it just dawned on me, well, I have to love everybody. And that was exactly what I needed, because I needed that refining of my character and that weaving of these love languages into the fabric of my character to become a better person, so that I would be more marketable to the next marriage or to the next person. And it really was something that I absolutely needed. It's something I needed, that replacement behavior, to overcome that anger that was generational, something passed down for generations. I wanted to stop that.
Definitely. And we don't, anyone would not want that to keep going on once they realize it's happening. And it's good that you were able to hit the brakes and find a way out with the help of Dr. Chapman's works. I think Dr. Chapman is who the chaplains use for marriage retreats here.
Oh, yeah.
Or outreaches. And they do the five love language at those retreats. And I think that was the book that we were all given, was the five love language by Dr. Chapman. And that's what they went through over the weekend. I remember it vaguely. It's been over 7 years since I got out, but I do remember the five love languages, and I remember the name Dr. Chapman. So you bring it all back to me.
No, good. Good. Good remembrances. I hope it was a good memory. But the thing about that is even if people like yourself heard about Dr. Chapman, heard about the love languages, and I heard about it a little bit, and even after I read the book four or five times, I didn't get it. And it just took me a while to figure out, well, how do I implement this into my life? And as simple as the cube is, that was the key. This was the tool that really helped me insert it into my life and make a difference in my life. It sets a theme for the day. How am I going to love today? And it's a purpose for the day. If that guy cuts you off in traffic, you can't even go there, because your intention is to love all day long. And you've got to just changes your mindset from whatever it was before, even if it's PTSD, just leave that event alone and start new events. Create those new events in your life, those loving events. And as you continue to do that and focus on the loving events, that's going to overwhelm that. I have a magnifying glass that I like to work with that. Just think about that. If we focus on what the mistakes that other people make, they're going to get larger. And what happens after that is now they're going to focus on your mistakes. Who wants that? Why would you ever choose to do that and send it out? Because it's coming right back. I love to think of this as that this is kind of like the law of the harvest or karma or the law of attraction. Whatever you send out, it's going to come back to you. When you're sending the love out, you're sending it out without any regard of it ever coming back, but trusting those laws that it's going to come back sometime, maybe not from that person, but sometime, some way. What you're looking for is people to light up. When they light up, no longer, Rich, do you have to say, excuse me, could we pause this relationship for a moment so I could have you take this survey so I know how to love you? That's awkward. We're done with awkward. You don't have to do that anymore. You'll watch. You observe. That's when they light up. That's a primary or a secondary love language. Take a mental note for that person and then go and light up the next person. You can light up 3 to 10 people doing one genre of a love language all day long. And when you do that, you've made their day. There's great satisfaction in helping another person on their way.
Oh, it definitely is. It always feels good when you see the work that you're putting out help at least one person. And that's what we say about this show. If me and you talking tonight reaches one person and it makes them turn their life around, then we were successful tonight. There may be thousands of people on the radio station listening to us or on YouTube and across all the webs here, but if we reach just one, is a victory. And that's what we got to do. And you see going across the bottom screen right now is a stacking victories. What we say here at the Misfit Nation is don't dwell on the things that go wrong during the day. Keep stacking the things that go right. Learn from the thing that went wrong, but don't dwell on it and let it go. And just keep moving it apart. And each day, try to stack those victories and see how many you get each day and beat the next day. And that's how you get through a happier life that way.
I love that comment, Rich. And stacking victories isn't the way I've talked about it. I love stacking victories. Whoever said that, hey, kudos to you. What I call it is stacking kindness. Now you're stacking kindness on top of kindness on top of kindness. It's going to get you to higher laws of love. These love languages are the basics. This is the literacy level. This is what everybody should know. All these love languages so that you can get to the higher laws of love. When I say the higher laws of love, I'm talking about charity. I'm talking about compassion. I'm talking about intimacy. I'm talking about forgiveness or mercy or empathy or sympathy. Those are higher laws of love. You've got to have kindness on top of kindness or victory on top of victory on top of victory to get to those higher laws of love. That's what we're looking for. That's the stacking that we really need to do.
Definitely. You got to keep stacking. And the more you stack on the positive stuff, the less the negative vibrations go through your life there.
Absolutely.
How are you marketing this so that more people are able to gravitate towards you and maybe get some more happiness in their lives?
Good question, Rich. For now, it's podcasts and social media. I have done a little bit of advertising in social media, but it's really from the ground level right now. I've got the book out there. I've got a journal out there. What I'm doing also is taking the cube to the classroom. So I'm testing it in the classroom with K through 6. And the whole idea of this is that they'll take the 2 seconds or less to roll the die the first thing in the morning. Teacher might take 30 to 45 seconds and say, class, this is the type of behavior that we're looking for today. And they'll go through the day. At the end of the day, what I've asked the teachers to do is to help the class write what they rolled, what opportunities they saw to love in that way, what they did about those opportunities. It becomes a love legacy journal for that first grader, for that third grader, for that sixth grader. At the end of the year, astute parents will have collected those pages of that journal writing that child had done and put it together. Now you've got a first grade journal. Think 10 years, 20 years down the road, looking back at that first grade journal. Think that person, when they start having children or grandchildren, they'll still have that first grade journal. They'll be able to show their grandchildren or their children and say, look what I did in first grade and look how I behaved. It takes the responsibility for behaving a lot of it away from the teacher and a lot of it away from the principal. Now the student, the child themselves are responsible for their own behavior. If we can teach that responsibility of loving and sending out love all day long, they will be so busy looking for opportunities that they won't be looking for opportunities to be a bully. They won't be looking for opportunities to be violent. They won't be looking for misbehaving opportunities. That takes away from the classroom activities. That takes away from the teacher and the energy that she has to teach the children correct principles and teach them the things that they need to know. The second thing that happens is that they build up foundation. They get this fabric in their character of loving, and they get that mindset of loving. Hopefully that'll carry to the middle school, to the high school, to college, and to their life. We need to train people to have a lot less rage, teach them how to love and how to express that love and send it out every single day.
Definitely. A lot less rage would be great in schools. I know one of your ideas for an episode title was minimize the violence in schools. There's an idea that is a beautiful idea, and I think this is one step in the right direction, and having more caring and stuff at home might help as well. But all that together will create a better school balance for those young men and women as they go through school and move on in life. Maybe they'll stop bullying. Bullying will be there forever. It's been there forever. But what you do with it is what needs to change. And dealing with it and using the words instead of guns and knives in school might be the better answer.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I've talked with teachers around the world, Rich, and all the teachers concur that the last 10 to 15 minutes a day is really non-productive time. The kids have been there all day. They're antsy. They know the bell's going to ring. Their minds are mush. They just have tried to incorporate and take in all that they were supposed to learn that particular day. They're tired. A great kind of a de-stressing activity is to write in the journal. It just takes you down a notch or two so that you're not so stressed out for that particular day. That's what we're trying to accomplish there too. The astute teacher will just do a check mark, but read through some of those stories. And then in front of the class, maybe the next day, say, look what Johnny did today. Look what Susie did, or look what they did yesterday. And read in front of the class something that spectacular that happened in that genre of love that they're practicing that particular day. It's really going to encourage the kids to focus on being more loving all day long.
Definitely. And like you said, at the end of the day, they're either looking to get out of school, they're tired from being there all day, from being up early to get on that bus, or they're just, their mind isn't there. It's on the next event. A lot of them have things after school, sports or clubs or whatever they do after school. And so they're not there anyway. Mentally, they're not there. So they might as well start writing something down instead of trying to keep pushing them to do more stuff. Maybe have them reflect on what they've done today and how they can be better tomorrow.
Exactly.
That might really help out. So, Paul, where can someone get your book or even the Die or even just chat with you?
So I have the book, the Die, and the journal in a package bundle on my website right now. It's the website is rolloflove.com, as you see on the screen right now. R-O-L-E, I did a play on words, Rich. R-O-L-L is something that happens outside of you. That's what you do with the dice. R-O-L-E is what changes you within. That was really important for me. I needed that change within. I wanted it, and I wanted to create a new life, a new way of expressing myself to people. And it works really well. If people love the Audible version, I do have an Audible book, but you have to go to Amazon to get that. So when you go to Amazon, you don't type in Roll of Love or you don't type in anything about love because you're going to get love this, love that, love a million things. Type in my name, Paul Zolman. It'll come right to it. You can either get the Kindle version or the Audible version. The book and the journal are on there, but the dice is not on Amazon. So awesome. either one of those places.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul, for sharing everything tonight with us. And, of course, thank you for what you're doing. And hopefully your grassroots efforts right now propel it into something a little better to help more people have that more, I guess, productive life, be more successful and being happy as they move forward in life.
Thank you, Rich. It's been a pleasure to be with you. I love the military. I love military families, and I would really want to help them. You know, if they'll go on my website too, there is an opportunity for a free 30-minute consultation. We can do it by phone. We can do it by Zoom. However they want to do that, I'd be glad to help any of the military out in that way.
Outstanding. Thank you, Paul, for that. And listeners, make sure you take them up on that offer. Have a great night, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rich.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of this message. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all of our past episodes and get some of that great Misfit Nation gear. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.